Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Kingdom Message. I'm your host, Reverend Stephen Michael, and I'll be joined today by Pastor Les Boyle. Today's message is lukewarm. Yes, it's a major subject churches should be teaching on these days, the subject of the lukewarm and what Yahweh has to say about it. And first of all, I want to mention how we are always teaching here on the Kingdom Message about the Kingdom. The Word of God says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, seeking first His Kingdom, well, that'll always include His people. Every kingdom has a people. It will include His land that He has told us to take and that we would have dominion over and at all times occupy until He comes. It will include His kingdom, His kingship, the kingship over the kingdom, realizing He is the King of Kings and we are of His royal priesthood, the Word of God declares. Seated with Him on His throne, at least in the spirit realm, we have three parts of our being, spirit and soul and body, saith the Word of God, and our spirit is already legally there. We are seated with Him far above all power, principality, dominion, and might, and we are to be ambassadors in the flesh, and we are to be overcomers. And we're going to get into this great, good one for you today on overcoming and being and operating in His kingdom. Praise Yahweh. And as we seek first His kingdom, yes, it's for sure. As we know in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, that it says that we gave diligence to write about the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was delivered to the saints. Now, that I want you, if you could, underline that word, the faith, Jude chapter 1, verse 3, okay? Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, not only to deal with the common salvation. Ephesians 4, verse 13, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, underline the word the faith. We are to come into the unity of the faith. Okay. Acts chapter 14, verse 22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That word there for tribulation is the word in Greek philipses, which is the word for thumbscrews when they would torture people. They would hang people up by their thumbs, okay, and put screws to their thumbs. And this is what it says, we how through much thumbscrews, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, we're going to go through these trials. We're going to go through some, but we will enter the kingdom of God. You can guarantee it if you have faith and you continue. You will make it. But in the meantime, as He said, take up your cross and follow Me. Crucify your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And we have a great encouraging message for you today. Colossians 2, verse 12. Again, we have the word the faith. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. That's where to be, operating in the Spirit, obeying. We're going to get into what Yahweh says about the faith, and we're going to get into how not to be lukewarm. And before we get into what Yahweh says about lukewarm, I want you to realize when he said he was building his church, that word is the word ecclesia. At the time, it meant the entire ruling elite. That's what they believed. And that's what it meant, was the Roman ruling elite, aristocratic, and so forth, military commanders, all through the ranks of the ruler elite. We know judgment must begin first at the house of God. Yes, we're part of the church. It will only be accomplished in these last days that he is gathering us together by his truth. It says he'll gather us together in the air. We will somehow worldwide be caught up in the air, and at one time we'll be translated in a twinkling of an eye, and we will have our new glorified bodies. But at this stage, we are being gathered together already in the air by his truth. He is worldwide. His saints are having a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, especially through the truth that is getting out. And we're getting to a stage here where through so much truth, people getting off the couch, stopping being a couch potato and just watching what they put on the television set for people to be brainwashed in. But now to find more knowledge and become wiser people, to have access to all these libraries where people can grow in knowledge and be empowered enough that they can overcome anything and be anything that they want to be. And that is of all good things that Yahweh would have them to have and to be free enough that they can throw off sooner or later the New World Order, because he's not coming back until his enemies are made his footstool, and he's coming back for a church that's without spot or wrinkle, is what he said. And we are living in the times where that all will be fulfilled, those latter days. As most prophecies contain those terms, end times, the conquering of the evil synagogue of Satan, and all those who oppose his Adamic Anglo-Saxon Christian true Israel law given by Yahweh. All the saints who lived before us are jealous of us. We're looking toward these days, as it says, and this is the time of the great coming victories. There is a great awakening going on of his covenant people to their identity as his royal priesthood and holy nation, 1 Peter says. Anglo-Saxon Christendom, the true Israel of history, of traditional and ancient Christianity, always believed that we are true Israel, which agrees with the scriptures concerning the 12 tribes, and not one tribe named Jew, which was stolen by the Edomite Canaanites. We're approaching those times when these awakened ones will finally take part in the fulfilling their great destiny and covenantal promises of God Almighty that declares the true Israel of God will prevail over the counterfeit Israel, who specifically used that term Jew. See Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Those who have collectively rejected the Savior, Jesus, are called the Antichrist. There are about a dozen verses that say that. Those who are with them and their culture that is counter to Christianity will be thrown in the great winepress at Armageddon, and the blood will be up to the horse's bridle for 600 furlongs. That's 200 miles that it's going to be up to the horse's bridle, saith the word of Yahweh Elohim, and he has never lied yet. For he is preparing his people to be ready to do his thing before Satan's people can be even attempting to do their thing. Yahweh is on his throne and will not step back down to earth until his enemies are made his footstool, and he's coming back for a church that's without spot or wrinkle, saith the word of Yahweh. Since the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, this means true Christian Israel will not only be the original military world superpower as it was in the King David days, and that their separatist nation was at such power that it was seen around the world and all were under their submission, for the most part, and we're not invading them, giving them their space. But it says we'll not only have such calling and gifts that we've had before with his kingdom, but we'll be doing greater works than Jesus did and raise up the tabernacle of David with all the supreme power and authority as those who seek first his kingdom, as ambassadors and overcomers who work toward and pray daily that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is presently being done perfectly in heaven, until we raise up a witness of the kingdom to all nations, it says. Then the end will come, but not until finally we have raised up a witness of the kingdom, of the faith. Then the end shall come. A holy city set on a hill cannot be hid. His living church today has already been delivered out, as it says, out of the kingdom of darkness. We're already there. As it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we've been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, his holy nation of conquerors, with all authority and power given unto Yahshua our King. And we, in his government on earth, are spiritually one-third already seated with him on his throne, and his church, the ecclesia, the Greek word used in Roman times meaning the ruling elite, and as his living royal priesthood, as we know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, we are his royal priesthood and holy nation, are valiantly reigning king priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Yes, the word of God says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 21, he will not repent. Yahweh, Yahshua, is the high priest and the king priest of the order of Melchizedek, obeying his living word. We obey his living word preserved in the Holy Scriptures. We go forward in obedience to his great commission to teach all nations to obey his law, leading by example, as hundreds of verses have tell us in his word, to be separate and coming out from among them as true Israel people, to be such a holy example, delivering us from the curses of race mixing that is called a punishment. Yes, the word of God says it's not just something that's bad. No, it's a punishment. It says that it will, if you do intermarry, it says in Joshua chapter 23, verse 13, know for a certainty that they will be snares and traps into you, scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which Yahweh Elohim has given you. And we are to bless his people, not to curse them with those thorns in their eyes. We're to be separate, and that is a joyful thing, not cursing us with the curse of bastardization and adulteration of the holy seed. Yes, the word adulterate means to mix. But reckon, we're to be reckoned by genealogy, it says. You can search or search any of these phrases I'm giving you. I always give the word of Yahweh quoted exactly. We're to be reckoned by genealogy and by the ensign of our father's house. And we are to even be as a cause for punishing the treachery. It says, yes, it is treacherous to have a mingled seed and to put them out from the congregation for at least 10 generations, even if they have a mixture 10 generations back. They're to be kept out of the church. We have a right in America not only for freedom of association, but freedom of disassociation at any time, forcing upon the congregation a horde of cursed mamzers or race-mixed people. The word mamzer is the Hebrew word for the adulterated people. There, they call them bastard in King James, but if you look at the Hebrew word, it means both parents are of different races. It's not a blessing to Israel. It says it's a curse. But it says if you curse Israel, Yahweh will curse you. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. If you're forcing a horde of race-mixed people or other races to try and mix together with other people of another race, you are coming and bless, you are cursing Israel, and he will curse you. The blessing will be when we are rooting up every tree he has not planted out of our camps and humanely let them live somewhere else. Yes, it says he will root up every tree that he has not planted. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. As it says in Genesis 12, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Yes, we're to bless the true Israel of the 12 tribes, not of the one tribe called Jew, which Yahweh said are a fraudulent, if they use the word Jew. Yes, that's what the word of Yahweh says. The true Israel will never use the word Jew as describing themselves. The first time, in the first five books in the Bible, they're not mentioned. It's in the 11th book, the word Jew is mentioned. It says the Israelites are to go out and kill them. That's all it says about the Jew. In the word of God, if you believe the Bible is his word, well then, if the book is about Jews, why isn't the books not even, why are the Jews not even there for the first 11 books? Though they mention no Jew, but Jew, we see, is only of the enemy camp. As it says in Psalms 149, verse 8 through 9, as every royal priest does when they're spreading the good news of his true law and order, it will all be restored as we go, binding their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye Yahweh. Sayeth the word of Yahweh. We are just quoting Psalms 149, verse 8 through 9. We have this honor. This is something that we will all be a part of if we are of his true people speaking his truth. Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. True Israel is in the majority still in America, unmixed and living outside those major metropolitan areas. And in such rural places as his king, priest, elect, we are being preserved for his glory. Europe is also, we know, highly pure. Israel Christendom is alive and well according to the word of Yahweh. He promised, he gave that covenant unto Abraham that we would be not only pure, but also the 12 tribes. Each will be preserved and sealed separately, each of the 12 tribes. And they're named and they're given when the New Jerusalem City comes down out of heaven, each gate with one of the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. True Israel, yes, it's alive and well. We, those of us who are of Israel Christendom, we have all the cards. No one has his love, his truth, his peace, or restoration of order. There is no other way but through his son, the eternal Yahshua, and obedience to his eternal laws, which eternal Jesus also gave to Moses. We have it all by promise and birthright. Yes, there's no other way but through Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And he adopted only one people. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5 says that he adopted the people of one racial flesh, and it says he came for the flesh of Israel in that verse. And he come, and only the adoption pertaineth to Israel. Well, enough talk on race. His grace, our power from God to obey, Romans chapter 1, verse 15, it is his powerful grace that we are able to hear and understand his word. A great and mighty calling we have, and it is evidence we are of his sheep. It is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2, verse 13. What an awesome honor it is. We know Romans 3, it says, no man seeketh after God, no, not one. Only the Holy Spirit gives us the power or the desire. It says, no man even seeketh after God. The Holy Spirit gets all the credit and the glory. Praise be unto Yahweh that he has given those who are listening here ears to hear and he's placed that desire in our heart. Praise him that he is here. He is one with us and doing a work in us. And he that began a good work is faithful to complete it. And his work does not come back void. May he wash us in his blood. To those of us who confess our sin, we thank you, O Yahweh, that you grant us forgiveness daily, and we raise up our heads high as ambassadors of your holy kingdom, which is coming, and that we are to enforce in the earth as we are to have, as you told us to pray. Amen. And may we, those of us, have that Spirit giving us that strength and power, that divine help and power as they had, and much more than they had in the Old Testament, as we are in the resurrection, and we are to obey all he would have us to do in his eternal word, his covenants, destiny, and calling. Yes, may we be empowered into it to live as royal priests for his kingdom, urging all others to repent before he does return, which also begins with that confession of sin. May we, with all the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, perform it in his name. Yes, we're going to get into a study today, lukewarm. We have a bit of an intro on the kingdom. We're talking about, well, what is that faith? It says the faith. I've given you diligence to write of the common salvation, but needful that I write unto you concerning the faith which is once delivered to the saints, Jude 1:3. And it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, Ephesians 4:13. Well, that's the kingdom, his people, his kingship, his land, all these factors. It says, we are to seek ye first his kingdom, Matthew 6:33. That's what we do here at the Christ Assembly. And we're going to talk today about being lukewarm, or what do we have? The options are Luke chapter 3, verse 16, and John, we want to go to lukewarm, Revelation 3:15, and I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So he's going to spit those people out of his mouth. We don't want to be lukewarm. We need to be either hot or cold. Luke 3:16, we see there's a fire baptism going on, that Jesus Christ is going to baptize us with fire. Okay, we got to be on fire, not just hot or cold. We're looking at quite a difference. I mean, this thing is major. Okay, it says that our flesh is as grass, it says in the Word of God. But he's going to send his fire, and all of the fire will burn up the grass. And all the works we do, it says, are either gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. The stubble is the grass. Everything we do will be going through the fire. One day we'll receive a reward for everything we've done in the body, whether good or bad. And some of us will have that gold refined through the fire, an even stronger fire and better. Hebrews 1:7 says, he maketh his ministers a flame of fire. Yes, people will be flames of fire. And he was already making his ministers flames of fire. So, you have fire people, and you have hot people. And some will be fire. What are they going to do? They're going to heat up the rest of the people here. Well, he's going to send his fire, and the fire is of the Holy Spirit. The tongues of fire he gave at Pentecost. And we're going to have to choose here. Do we want the fire that's coming now? Or do you want the fire that's coming later and be burning up everything, and you'll be left naked and for all eternity probably damned, or maybe you're not even in the kingdom? Matthew 5:19 says that if you teach men to keep the least commandments and do keep them, then you'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But if you who break those least commandments and teach men to break them, you'll be called the least. Okay, well, we need to be very clear. Sin is the main issue here, okay? But sin is not a moral thing. It says in the Word of God, and it says in the Greek, it's the word hamartia. It means missing out, okay? Lacking, falling short, okay? For the most part, that's what sin is. It's just losing, missing out something. Hamartia meant also in battle, and the soldier was going to kill you, and you didn't kill him first, and he killed you, then you hamartia. And that was the word used there for training and so forth in the Roman times. It's important to know this. It's not. It's important to know because, you know, the Word of God says sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1. We're commanded to be holy. Hebrews 12, verse 14, it says, without holy, no man can see Yahweh. It says this in the Word of God. He said, be holy as I am holy. The Word of God is what we need to realize and obey. Okay, yes, that we'll be sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. Paul said, I am a chief of sinners. And he also was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But when what made him great was that he realized that he had sinned, and he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And when he realized, and he didn't, when he realized that he needed to have those weaker parts of his nature stronger, that is the mercy and so forth, then he was stronger. I'm not saying that he taught, what happened is he didn't have a spirit, and then he did. He then began to fulfill the commandments. He began to do what the law says, rather than rejecting the law of Moses like the Pharisees did. Jesus said that the Pharisees were rejecting the law of Moses by their traditions of men. That was the problem. Those traditions of men, he says, by the commandment of man, you're rejecting the commandment of God. Traditions and commandments of men. You can search all these verses and find and do your study and find these things. It says study to show yourself approved. I hope everybody knows that the Word of God is clear. He said, whatever is not of faith is sin. Yahweh said, we need to have faith. We need to have part of that victory. 1 John 5, 4 says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We're commanded in Matthew 5, verse 48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is perfect. We're not to if you fall short, you confess your sin, then he's faithful and just to wash and cleanse you of all sin and unrighteousness. Then it's a done deal. You're back in the resurrection power. He sees you as perfect. He commanded you to be perfect. He commands us. He said, let this mind be in you that is also in Jesus Christ. That is Philippians 2, verse 5. Even though he said that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways are your ways, and way above ours, Isaiah 55, verse 8 says this. But he then commands us in a new covenant when we have the power of the Holy Spirit now, the resurrection power that he gave us, not by our own strength, but through faith. By grace through faith. That grace through faith is the power to obey. Romans 1, verse 15 says, grace is power from God to obey. It's for obedience, not disobedience. The word grace means, very clearly, the word in Greek is charisma. What is charisma? That's a great, talented person. That's grace. Maybe 1% of it has to do with mercy. But most of grace is performance. Grace is gifts and expression and, you know, divine powers. The word grace, charisma of healing, it talks about being able to lay hands on someone and to heal them by the miraculous strength and power of the Holy Spirit. That is the word for grace, the grace of healing, gifts of healing. It's not talking about living in sin. staying in sin. No, he says immediately, run the race, win the crown. He doesn't say lay down in your sin. No, he says we must run the race, not fall short. The word for sin is the word falling down, to lose out and to miss out. You know, they're not even in the race if you're in sin. 1 Peter 1, verse 16, he says, be holy, for I am holy. That should end the whole discussion now, whether or not these churches who are teaching lukewarm, teaching you to just go easy on everything. He doesn't, you know, don't teach sin. Well, sin is falling short, okay? So teach people what sin is. It's a command. He says, lift up your voice as a trumpet. Show my people their sins. You know, we're commanded to be a watchman as well. To, if you see the sword that's coming on the city, warn them, or else their blood will be on your hands. You're to warn the people that they turn from their wicked ways, because he punishes wickedness and he sends things on his people. He will let them be punished. They'll finally, like sheep that are going astray, you gotta maybe, you know, discipline those sheep in some way, teach them that they need to follow. You know, you'll have a dog that will, you know, maybe almost bite your sheep, you know, put them back on the path so they don't fall off the cliff or something. And the shepherd's staff, it's not very hard. It's not going to hurt them that much. Well, also with our eternal life, compared to what's going on in this world, even for the saints, it says that the distress of the passing hour is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. This small, very, it says, the slight distress of the passing hour, that's very, it's like a wind. The problems that we have, gone and forgotten. And it'll be so unworthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. It'll be gone and just, it's unbelievable how we can compare problems in this world, but plagues that he will send on his people to get them to turn from their wicked ways, or allow Satan to do it. If some believe that, you know, he won't use a shepherd's staff on his people to put them back on the path, that's fine. But Romans 14, verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay, we have to have not only trust and so forth, but faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word of Yahweh. Okay, and the word, if you look at the Greek, it's the word when he said, Shema, O Israel. When he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, Shema, O Israel. That means hear. The word for hear, it means obedience. The word Shema there. The Hebrew word he quoted from the Hebrew. When he asked, what was the greatest commandment? He said, hear, O Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one God. And so we need to look at that and realize, oh, that word is there. And oh, obedience, because the word Shema meant to hear and respond and obey. And faith, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by obedience. After you've obeyed, and first it says it comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word. Why does it say the word hearing twice? Because, well, you have to have the spoken word. That's emphasized there. And it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they be sent? And it goes all the way down the list. It's very important. It says there's many levels of ministry for the perfecting of the saints. All these covenants, all these commandments are in full force, and his angels enforce his word, and it never comes back void. This is always going to be accomplished. There's a big difference between being a sinner and being wicked. Yeah, he said he's come for the sinner. He's not come for the righteous. Paul even said, he was a chief of sinners. and he's come to save us. It's a very true thing. But the wicked, now that is a different story. The wicked are those who know what sin is, and they're promoting it. The wicked people are those who are publicly or affecting the lives of other people, forcing them on sin, or making it a promotion of sin so that other people continue in it. For example, saying that something is not a sin. Sin is the word falling short. Okay, let's just say it as plain as it is. It could all be coming up to semantics and something that I haven't learned, that you've learned, okay, and we can always sit together and we can always talk about it and study it. And let's not all rush to judgment, but we have to come into the unity of the faith. The most important part is his kingdom, and we have to be having unity. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. That's what we need now. The fire and the total solidarity in Christ is what we need to have. And we will stand against the wicked. And those wicked, we got to be careful who we call wicked, because we could also be judging people where they've learned something that we haven't learned. And maybe they were not being wicked and they were trying their best to follow the word of Yahweh and the understanding and so forth. Okay, but for the most part, it's clear. You know, when someone's wicked, they're wicked, and those people are receiving a major punishment and so forth. And he's not coming for the wicked. He's only coming to kill the wicked. It says in the word of Yahweh, he'll rebuke them, and with vengeance, and with his flames of fire, and so forth. He's coming back, and we can do a whole study on that, on his execution of vengeance and so forth. But that's a real fire and brimstone sermon. I have done one similar to that on what was the name of that one? Utterly destroy them. The word of Yahweh says utterly destroy them. And I did a sermon you can look up called Utterly Destroy Them. But we need that solidarity in Christ. Matthew 10, verse 22, it says, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. It says, we'll be hated of all men for righteousness' sake. It says, they will say all manner of evil against you falsely for righteousness' sake. It says all men will hate you. In all the Gospels it says that. It says, he said, if they hated me, well, he was perfect. Imagine how much they'll hate you. Or if the devil tempted us too, imagine how much he can tempt. If the devil tempted Yeshua, Jesus Christ, well, he can tempt us too. But yes, but we do have a promise here, Matthew 24, verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's also in Mark 13:13 and Matthew 10:22, that you'll be hated of all men, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. We'll be hated for his name's sake, is what it says. That's the most important part. No king but Jesus was the battle cry. That was the motto of the revolution and the motto of the lawful war of independence from England. And there were legal reasons, and there's a time and a place for everything under the sun. That's what the word of Yahweh says. There's a time for peaceful and lawful separation. There's a time for the answers. There's a time for almost everything. And we have to believe what the word of Yahweh says. And we don't yet... Oh, I see Robert's on here. And I want to welcome you as well. First John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're going to overcome, and that is by having that power of the Holy Spirit, having that solidarity that we need. We're to totally be united, and in that unity of the faith, that faith which is once delivered to the saints, that we are to also enforce. We need that. We need people on fire. We need people on such solidarity on the core views and the core things of the kingdom of Yahweh and not divided. We're to come together. Yes, even some sinners. If you're going to be with the lukewarm, there's some places in the scripture where even the sinners, not just the wicked, are going to be wiped out. We know 1 Samuel 15, verse 18, and Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. So even sinners, people who have made their lifestyle to be staying in that, that's the problem. But he says he'd come to save us from sin, not to continue in sin. The angel, when the angel came to Joseph and Mary, said that he will have the throne of David and he will also save his people from their sin. If someone saved you from drowning, that doesn't mean you're still drowning. We're to, okay, if we sin and fall short, that will always happen, but to confess the sin immediately, get up and be walking with him in all full power that he has for us. As we know and we read today, without holiness we cannot see him. Be holy as I am holy. Be perfect as I am perfect. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ. To have that faith, to have that overcoming power of the Holy Spirit that we now have in the new covenant, much more power to obey than they had in the old. As it says, Romans 1:15, grace is for obedience, or grace is charisma, means gifted person. We have a power from God, extra powers to obey, like they never even imagined happened. And Jesus said we will do greater works than he did. We'll be even having much more miracles than he did, and there'll be millions of us doing it as his kingdom is being restored. And as he comes back for his church, that's without spot or wrinkle. Well, I do want to say we'll open up today for questions, if anyone has any during these last 10 minutes. And I will check for that as well. And thanks for your comments, Princess Warrior. Guest 4, praise Yahweh. I'm in agreement. And yes, we are to be set apart. The word means holy. Be ye holy or set apart. Be ye separatists. That's what the Bible, this is what Yahweh says. We're not to obey all powers in the entire planet. Some churches, some evangelicals say, oh yeah, just go and obey all the powers in the entire planet. They're all been ordained of Yahweh, and that's totally baloney. Go, you know, obey Osama bin Laden, you know. He's a power too. He's been a power at some time. Go obey Mubarak, you know, for example. And all those Egyptians that are doing the uprising, oh, they're all in sin, right? That's what they'll probably say, but they're all going to help them come into Western European countries now because they're floodgating. Just within 2 days, tens of thousands washed up, Tunisians and Egyptians washed up on the Italian shores, tens of thousands. This is what they're saying on the news. They're showing the photographs. It is a literal tidal wave of Tunisians and Egyptians coming into Italy. And the ministry, the interior minister is calling for the army to go to Tunisia and to stop them from getting on the damn boats. Okay? That's what's going on right now. Egyptians are hijacking boats that are going to the Suez Canal. They're filling up people in those containers, and tens of thousands are landing in Europe as we speak. Okay, people? This is what's going on. This is what the word of Yahweh says, be a watchman and tell people when this stuff is going on. Right now, that's what's going on. They're going to be all through our cities like zombies looking for scraps of bread. Okay? And the military's not going to do nothing. They're going to leave us all to fend for ourselves. We're going to have to head out, get ourselves some arms, go to wherever it's legal to go get them, and so forth. And after they've killed half the population, then we're going to have to go kill them. Okay? That's the situation that's going on right now. These Islamists, these Muslims, we're going to have millions of them overrunning all of our, all the European towns, okay? And there's going to be almost no escape, all right? And there's no one standing in between them and us except for all these liberals saying, bring them over, bring them, let them come. Let them come. We got plenty of food, and we're looking at a food crisis. What's the whole reason that they want to come over here, the whole reason they want to go into European countries is because they have a food crisis right now. Food prices are skyrocketing. They can't feed themselves. They've been sitting out there on getting handouts from us for so long, and they can't grow and produce their own food. And now that's all... You know, they've over-multiplied. They've had way more births than normal because of all the medicine and all the food we're giving them. And, you know, in their religion, they can have as many children, as many wives as they want. And they're not under a sustainable level at all. But they could rebuild their own country, but that's not how they've been taught. They're to go on an Islamic conquest. And they have every reason to go after us. They have every reason. They have it all cataloged. And they're coming. They're already here. They're predecessors. They're all here camped out, stationed all throughout Europe. And they're ready to give full quarter. And so are a lot of liberals. You take that Laura girl, Laura Hogan, or Logan. And she thought, oh, I'm going to go give quarter. I'm going to go help these Egyptians. I'm going to go show their side of the story. What did they do? They all took her, beat her half to death, raped her, gang raped her for over half an hour until the army could get her out of there. That's what the Egyptians have. That was during the celebrations for their liberation. She goes out there, you know, without the head covering, and she wants to say, oh, yeah, I'm here to help you celebrate your liberation. All it means is that there's nobody standing between them and us, and they're coming. They're coming for food during this food crisis. I wanted to get into the questions we might have here. If anyone does have a question, you're more than welcome. Pastor Les, I want to thank you for joining in.
Well, okay. I just woke up.
Okay. We know at California time it's quite early, and everybody there is pretty much still asleep. But we're coming up with the subject here, it says, be ye not, and it says, be ye hot or cold. Because the lukewarm, I'm going to spit out of my mouth. That's what it's all coming down to, and people got to choose which side they're going to be on. Our study today, I hope it's encouraged you, encouraged everyone to have that faith, to have that obedience, to be a part of his kingdom and the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. We're commanded to earnestly contend for it, to do whatever you can to have the unity, to have, you know, the camaraderie in the kingdom for his people, his law, his order, his kingship, his lands that he said that we're to occupy till he comes, and that we're to raise up a witness of the kingdom until the end comes, and then the end will finally come when we've raised up that witness of the kingdom, and he comes back for that church that's without spot or wrinkle. Praise Yahweh, we can be a part of it. And I want to thank everybody who's joined in today. I hope this entire one-hour Bible study was a blessing to you. And I pray Yahweh will also liberate you from sin, every one of us, because all the word sin is falling short. And when we're living in more obedience to his kingdom and his law, and the Holy Spirit gives us more power, that's more liberation, that's more freedom, because the word freedom is the word for the commandments. Yes, we're to be set free from sin. Well, what does it say sin is? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says sin is transgression of the law. That is sin. We're to be set free from that, and freedom is law-keeping. Amen, Pastor Les?
Amen.
That is freedom. It says, stand fast in the liberty. We're to be overcomers. And that's what we will be in these end times. Here we have a question here or a comment. It says, your message is wonderful, but yes, we are told that Yahweh will root up all that he did not plant. But nowhere in the scriptures does he say that we will take the Arabs back to the Middle East or the Africans back to Africa. Yahweh will deal with the non-Israelites as he sees fit. Well, thank you for your comment. And, there's also no place that shows in the scripture that there will be Islam. So, I don't think they'll be around for much longer either. And he talks about the Molesh, gathering together with Gog and Magog. That might be the Muslims coming against his people, the true Israelites, and so forth. Not of the one tribe called Jew. Because one tribe, Jew, we know that they took the word Jew and they made it into a new religion of Babylonian Talmudism. Their new Bible is the Talmud, and they have new culture that's counter to Christianity. They've rejected Yahshua, and it says anyone who's rejected him is the Antichrist or of the Antichrist. And they've collectively rejected him. And he cursed the fig tree. He said that's Judaism, and the house of Judah is called the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree, and it was dried up from the roots. And he told the leaders of the tribe of Judah and the Pharisees that the kingdom would be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, the transplanted kingdom that Jeremiah brought to Ireland already 400 years before Christ, and brought the throne there, David's throne, the stone of Scone, which all the monarchs have been crowned on in the British Isles, even up until today, is the last queen. When she was crowned, they said, as we know, Queen of Israel, when the crown is placed on her head. It was televised internationally, and people were all able to see that. They know they're Israel. She was on David's throne. This is just a fact, and people need to get used to it. But we're going to have everything restored like they had in the King David's times. We'll be, again, a great separatist world superpower, as he will not come back until his church is without spot or wrinkle, his elect, his ecclesia, his people, which are his ruling elite, his royal priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, his holy nation. And until we are a witness of the kingdom, then the end can come. And not until then. Yahshua had told us, and his word will be accomplished and sent and will be performed to that which it is sent and will not come back void. Praise Yahweh. So if we don't have any more questions, I just want to thank everyone in today. And hope everyone's encouraged to stay strong, to stay hot. His ministers are a flame of fire. Let's pray that this fire goes, the power of the Holy Spirit will spread, more people will come to repentance, confess their sins, come to his law, and to be set free from sin in the freedom of, as he said, all of his law is liberty, and in his law is our delight, meditating on it day and night, finding that delight and becoming a tree planted by rivers of living water, and whatsoever we put our hand to do, it will prosper. And all those blessings and the blessings of Abraham be multiplied not only to those who believe and receive the blood of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, but all the conditional ones. All these blessings, I pray that they will overcome and overtake everybody who's converted in their heart, who've come to him. And I pray that each and every person who's blessed, strengthened through this whole week to bring about more of his kingdom in the earth, praying his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that his kingdom does come. Amen. Take care. Yahweh bless you. Have a nice week. Bye-bye.